Welcome to another show of Uncomfortable. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince. And today we have a special guest with us today. Vince, I'll let you introduce him here in just a second. But we want to talk about a really crazy topic. It's called, when is too much too much? I mean, there's many times that we go through life and we get these crazy ideas or thoughts or questions that we start thinking, how close to the line can I get sometimes? Or, you know, when, how close can I push this with this person, spiritually speaking? You know, I might want to force my spiritual beliefs on someone, or maybe they're forcing their beliefs on me. But before we dig into this topic and decide how much really is too much, Vince, please introduce us to Chad, our guest today.
Well, everybody, thank you for listening today. And we have Chad with us. He is a student at Christ for the Nations. He's also been in a couple of the classes that I have. And believe it or not, he was brave enough to endure both of them.
Oh, my.
All the way through to the end, Kirk. I don't know if you could.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if you are brave enough to handle that.
I think I could handle it.
I don't know, man. His classes are extremely tough. You know, some of the books he has you reading.
Well, I don't think it could be. I won't name the class nor the name of the teacher, but there was one teacher that used to put me to sleep every class, and it literally he reminded me of
sleep.
He reminded me of Ferris Bueller every time I'd go to class.
I know exactly.
No, but don't say names. Do not say names.
I will say this. I will say this about that teacher, though. This guy was dropping gold nuggets of wisdom left and right. But if you had a rough night's sleep the night before and you went to his class, you struggled. It was so harsh because his tone, when he got excited about the topic, it was
monotone.
Hello, welcome to the class today. I have a great topic for you. That was the great.
That was
just getting excited. So yeah, it was hard. I mean, if you didn't go in there fully caffeined up and sugared up for his class.
Now that I've completely derailed the introduction, let's get back to Chad.
We'll give Chad a second. Chad, tell us a little bit about yourself. Chad, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey guys, what's up? I am Chad. I am Christ for a Nation student right now, and I'm still trying to figure out like where God has is going to take me for ministry, if He even wants me to go into ministry. But also, I am here to kind of talk about what students are honestly asking, like the hard questions about. Our hopes to get a little bit more in-depth detail with some of the good answers for some of these students, because I do work or I serve. Sorry, I serve at a church called Lakeshore. It's somewhere in Rockwall, and they've had me there for a good bit for 4 years now, and they still haven't kicked me out yet. Like, I'm surprised about that, to be honest.
Hey, feel free to give your pastor a shout-out if you'd like to holler out to him.
Pastor Brad, Pastor Carlos, Pastor Nick, Pastor Caleb, and Aaron, the facilities guy, because we already know that if you work in facilities, you know you crazy. And let me just say this, me and him are both crazy.
Wait a minute, that Lakeshore, is that Pastor Nick Decold?
Yep.
Oh, so here, I'll give you a little tip of that. Nick and I go way back. We were in YFN together when we were here at Christ for the Nations. Kirk, you probably, if you saw a picture of him, you'd probably remember Nick.
I'm going to have to pull it up right now then, my goodness.
Yeah, and Pastor Brad is Pastor Brad Howard, correct?
Yes, sir.
Pastor Brad Howard also has a connection to Christ for the Nations. He actually was at one time the YFN director of Christ for the Nations during the 90s.
He was one of the youth for the Nations.
Right. And some of the guys that trained me before I came to Christ for the Nations actually served with him as well. So roundabout way, we have a connection to them all. And if nothing else, we're all alumni.
Right.
So great church. I hear a lot of cool things about them too. So
yeah,
not to mention that they've got cool people that are pastors there.
There you go.
The best thing is over there right now. What's going on over there right now is they're actually doing a lot of rebuilding and reconstruction over there. So the fact that that's going on Like, we're like their dream is to, yes, the building's being built, but it's for people that aren't there yet. So it's not for us to get more comfortable. It's for more people to be able to show up for us to expand. And I love it.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Well, sticking with our topic, when is too much, or what's too much, and how much can we say the word much and when too it's much. Too much?
You know, kind of swinging back before we get ourselves chasing a rabbit trail there. You know, I started out the segment by saying there's sometimes that we almost push our spiritual beliefs on people, right? Or people accuse us of pushing our spiritual beliefs on people. So first question that I would have is, when do you think it's too much when you're sharing your faith? I know that's an uncomfortable topic because either people love it or they hate it when it comes to doing evangelistic sharing of their faith, right?
Yeah.
So I think we should start with our guest tonight and let him take a crack at that one first.
Yeah, no, big time. To me, like, okay, just me personally, I don't share my faith until I feel like it's a good, comfortable place that I am with that person. Like, for instance, there's a Xbox friends of mine that I still have that they know my faith, but I didn't get to share about my faith until probably about a week worth of gaming with them. So, like, that means, like, a whole week of us getting to know each other, a week of us getting caught up, play video games, whatever. And something pops up to where I'm just like, I'm Christian, so I don't really believe in that. And then they're like, whoa, you're Christian. Like, why'd you have to drop that bomb on me? And I'm like, well, because that is my faith.
My belief. Drop the bomb on you.
Right? And that's how people say it. It's just like, well, I mean, yeah, we didn't drop the bomb on me. And so, I mean, that's just me, is that I don't like to just go up to people like, do you believe in Jesus? I see the, like, the fruit of it. I love watching it. I just look at them and be like, I can't do that.
There you go. How about you, Vince? When do you feel it's too much? Like, you're too much is too much when it comes to sharing your faith?
I personally think it's when it's too much is when it's more of a religious exercise than when it's led by the Spirit of God. Because I think when it's led by the Spirit of God, I think there is no too much, because he'll continue to talk through us and guide us as we communicate with those people and give us sometimes these words of wisdom or share information with them there's nobody that knows anything about that in their life, much less a stranger. And God will ask us to share those things with them so that they know for sure that he is speaking to them. So I think the only time it becomes too much is when you're just doing it out of religious practice and you're not doing it from a heart and a stance of love. It's got to be motivated by love. If it's not motivated by love, then it's too much already.
And I love, Chad, what you talked about building the relationship. Building the relationship mm-hmm. with the person before you begin to talk with them, because, you know, the reality is if you have no open door, you really have nothing to walk through. And if someone has a resistance already against the Christian faith, then and you're trying to sit there and tell them, even though it's the best truth they'll ever understand, it'll save them from hell. They don't understand that. So we have to, many times, I believe, we have to come in from the door of relationship, because that opens the gate of trust. It opens, or maybe I should say, it helps them lower their guard. Not that you're trying to trick them. You don't want to trick them. That's not the goal. The goal is you want to enable an atmosphere to where you can have a conversation that goes both ways and they're not turning a deaf ear.
Exactly. One of my friends actually on Xbox, won't drop any names like that. He's known me for since he was in eighth grade, and now he's graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. And yet me and him still have confrontational, like, battles between Christianity and stuff like that. But yet we still game out because, you know, we're just like, yo, like, I'm still going to show you love, whether you, like, believe what I believe in or not, because that's what Christ would do. He wouldn't just give up on you or whatever. And so He walked with me through addictions. I walked with him through his addictions. And yet we both are he's still an unbeliever right now. At the same time, he still sees like, hey, there is there are people that are Christians that don't actually walk out. So I think that's really big, and especially in today's society.
I love that. And I think coming at it from the point of relationship, regardless of how they respond, is critical. I remember a time when I was very young. Dude, I was in elementary, you know, and sometimes elementary kids are the most bold thing on the planet, right? You know, and I wish that I was as bold now as I was then. But I mean, I was like, dude, let me tell you about Jesus, man. I mean, I was friends with this kid, and he's like, dude, I don't want to know nothing about him. I'm an atheist. My dad's an atheist. I want to be an atheist. And I said, okay. And he goes, are we still friends? I said, well, absolutely. What? I mean, why would I not be your friend just because? I mean, I'm not going to follow what you do, but yes, we can hang out and play on the playground. So the reality is, it doesn't mean that we're going to sit in the seat of the scoffer and the mocker, like we're warned about in the word, but we will associate with them like Jesus did at the table, not participating in their activities, but being within the same arena to where we can influence them in a positive way.
Yeah.
I think that goes back to the love motivation, or goes back to the motivation of the heart.
There you go.
You know, Chad, you didn't leave your friend because it was motivated from a place of a genuine love that comes from Christ for his soul, for this friend of yours. And even though you guys may have these knockdown dragouts and you guys have walked through stuff, he sees that you've walked things out. He sees that you still walk with Christ. And whether he makes that decision right here and now, whether he's made it in the privacy of his own home, or whether it's years from now that he makes the decision, if he's got that time to do so, then one of the things that can be counted to you, your life, is that you were just faithful enough to be there, just to show up. And that's kind of one of the things I think that we struggle with, Kirk, is a lot of times we hesitate to show up, especially when we're like, you know, okay, you know what? This show's called Uncomfortable, so I'm going to get uncomfortable.
Oh, come on, let's get uncomfortable. Let's do it.
So let's just rub it in real deep, right? I think we use the term unequally yoked as a cop-out a lot of times.
Oh, come on.
To avoid getting out there and actually doing what Christ did with the world. I think, look, we need to have, first of all, we need to have a full understanding of what it means to be unequally yoked. And because we have a hard time reconciling the fact that Jesus sat in the home of sinners and had dinner. Mm-hmm. It didn't say that he went and did everything that those sinners did. It just says he went to their house.
Well,
and the difference between being in his house and being somewhere else with them.
And the way that people would handle themselves around Christ told you that he was not participating in their activities.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was rabbi, basically in today's vernacular. Hey, teacher.
Pastor, yeah.
Hey, pastor. Hey, teacher. Pastor,
teacher, yeah.
You know, so it was a sign of respect at recognizing the separation that was in his life. It doesn't mean that he wasn't sitting there with them talking, but he wasn't getting drunk. He wasn't participating in other activities that would be sinful. And now, we could chase this rabbit for quite some time, but this is a very broad topic. And yes, Vince. Okay, I'll hold on. Go for it.
No, I was just going to say, I actually have that one example in my life. Okay, I got the one time. I was working at a warehouse, right? And nobody knew that I had just come from Christ for the Nations. Nobody knew I was a pastor. I was just working, right? And these guys were just cutting loose. I mean, cussing, talking about hoeing around, all this stuff. I mean, they were just going off, right? And I had said something, and I was like, oh, you guys keep talking, I'll talk about it. Like, what are you, like, some kind of, like, holier than thou person? I'm like, no. And they're like, what are you, a pastor or something? And I just kind of looked, I was like, well, yeah. And they're like, oh, we're so sorry, pastor. Pastor, we're so
You know, it's funny that happens.
I was like, why? I didn't tell you anything. I wasn't going to condemn you for talking how you talk.
Now, completely in the same arena, but opposite spectrum, how do you guys feel about when people vomit their faith on people? And I use a pretty gross word there, vomit. But yeah. it's what it is. You know, because there's some people, it's like they're trying to force feed their faith on people, trying to force their belief on someone else. And when do you think that's too much?
Okay, I actually just watched a TikTok. I know this is going to sound stupid. I watched a TikTok that a lady that just delivered food at like probably like around 3 p.m. To a house, then shows back up to the same house at 1 a.m. knocking on their door and saying, hey, do you believe in Jesus Christ?
What?
Yeah, no, that ends up happening.
That's excessive.
That to me is excessive. Like, if I'm going to share love of Christ to you, then I'm going to leave you like a little note in your food, or like, hey, like, go read this book in the Bible, or like, hey, do you want to have time right now to talk about Jesus Christ? Why?
At the moment, don't wake people up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Like, that to me is excessive. But the fact that some people would just be like, you're going to go to, like the second that you, I hear you're going to go to hell on the streets. Mm-hmm. I'm like, my brother or sister, whoever they might be, you're not like, I honestly want to pull them aside and just be like, listen, you're not sharing what Jesus did. Did Jesus ever say to just a random stranger that they never met on the streets, you're going to go to hell if you don't fix your life? Like, no. So therefore, let's actually like dumb it down just a little bit, get to go shake someone's hand, and then just see like where their life was and see how Jesus can help them get out of the things that they put, that their life put in themselves. So, I mean, it's, to me, I don't like the fact that a lot of people just do that. Like, granted, I get it. Fear can cause some faith. Mm-hmm. But it can also be the exact opposite.
Another thing that I can think of, and anyone that works in the business world, especially if you're bivocational or full-time working a job 9-to-5, in a lot of HR videos, what they'll do is they'll show you a thing about not sharing your faith with people that don't want to hear it, right? And the reality is when you're in your workplace, you have limited rights. And if you're not invited to speak, you have no voice to speak, because that's just the way it currently is in the legal realm of things. But that's not just Christianity. That would be Islam, Buddhism, New Age, whatever. You're not supposed to force your faith on someone else. Now, so it could be looked at in an argumentative way that you're force feeding someone if you're in a workplace and trying to force your views, kind of like leaving your Christian track on their desk every day, always leaving a note on their desk every time, always trying to force feed them little messages. Now, do I think that that's excessive? I don't know, unless I'm there in the situation. If I think that's excessive.
So we're not supposed to leave notes on people's desks stalking them every day?
Exactly. You know, but what I would say though, is it's cringe. I'm just being honest. I would say that's kind of cringe. You know, if someone's leaving me notes on my desk, I'm going to be like, dude, what's your deal? I don't care what it is. If you're continuously dropping me notes all the time, I'm going to be like, dude, something's up. This is weird. You're odd. But
that's it. Kirk, where's your office? I'm going to start doing that.
Hey.
It could also lead to like questionable things. Like, are you homosexual? Or like, is it same sex? Because like when those are being left, like most of the time they're like, yo, I'm interested in you. Like when I hear notes, I'm thinking like as like a little kid in middle school and high school, like, you know, like, hey, hand this note over to this girl, do whatever. And like, that's what I think. You know what I mean?
Things can be definitely misinterpreted. And the thing is people don't always get the message you're trying to leave, right? Mm-hmm. The reality is if you're going to try to witness to somebody in the workplace, build a relationship, become invited to speak to them. Now, I'm going to shift the topic just a hair. because I'm hearing an underlying theme here that I don't, you guys probably have heard it, but it's a four-letter word that I've heard over and over again, and it's love. The entire time we've been talking, we've been saying that the time that we need to express our faith is through love, that things need to be done in love. Now, that doesn't matter if you're on the street trying to witness to somebody and evangelize. It doesn't matter if you're one-on-one. It doesn't matter if you're at work. If you're not doing it in love, then you don't love and you're almost hating the person, right?
You know, I do want to make a clarification, though, and that's this.
No, you can't just clarify anything, Vince. You've had your clarification for the last 6 weeks. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Wow.
Got him.
You know what? I would throw a taco at you if I wouldn't if I knew it wasn't an insult to the taco.
Oh!
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know that I'd waste food like that. You just don't do that. That's wrong.
Especially a taco, dude. That would be right. Sacrilegious.
Well, no, especially your wife might be offended at me.
She would, especially if you wasted it.
No, for real though, the thing I want to clarify is this. Love does not equal acceptance. You don't have to accept
everything
that everybody does and believes in and all that in order to love them. Look, I don't agree with everything that even everybody in my house thinks, feels, or whatever. But it doesn't mean I don't love them. Yeah. There's things that Kirk and I don't agree on, and we get at each other sometimes. Doesn't mean I don't love him. I mean, sometimes I'd like to chunk a burrito at him, but I don't want to waste a burrito.
But throwing actually, food. About, I mean, I just, I'm yeah. About
the stuffed one, you know, the little stuffed burrito. There's a game called Throw the Burrito.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So,
you know, the only burrito about. That's worth not, the only burrito that you can, throw and not being, you know,
called throw burrito.
Oh my goodness. And not being like Mexican jail, so to speak, is like Taco Bell or I probably shouldn't have said the name on air, but
everybody knows the reputation.
So my kids have jokes about it, you know.
It doesn't mean that you have to accept, like, I'm pulling this way back off the rabbit trail. It doesn't mean you have to accept the way somebody lives or their sin that they're living in. It just means that we need to come from a place of love and non-judgment. So I can speak the truth to you and still care about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, going back to, like, what me and, like, Caden, like, dude, there'll be some times that we're yelling at each other. Like, you can almost, like, feel like there might be hatred going on in the party. We cut off, like, right then and there, just like, all right, either listen, we are officially, like, arguing, and we're not getting anywhere because we're both just ramped up emotionally. Either we stop it here and we call it quits and we try again tomorrow, or... we just go have fun and play some video games. And most of the time, we're just like, we'll just have fun and play some video games for right now. And then we'll like, if it comes back up, we'll talk more about it. So, I mean, the fact that we both can come to agreement, like, on that kind of stuff, because, again, like, his family's been, he's been hurt by his family versus what the church has already done, too.
Now, I'm going to say something that's very uncomfortable to most people who love politics. And what Chad just said is exactly what our government is supposed to do. They're supposed to have uncomfortable conversations and they're supposed to come to a mutual agreement. And, you know, if it gets too heated, put it on pause and then come back to the topic. Yes, yeah. I said it. It is what it is. You know,
I'm pretty sure if I'm not mistaken, I'm not married here. I know I'm the only one that's not married here, but I'm pretty sure that's what a man and a wife is supposed to do as well.
Exactly.
That's what helped with a lot of marriages. If you don't understand that point, like,
you're exactly right.
We're getting all the sacred cows tonight, aren't we?
Hey, but yeah. Chad, you're right. I mean, even though you, like you pointed out, you're not married, you are 100% right. When you're married, mm-hmm. there's moments you may have to step back and say, "Guys, let's cool down."
Guys, whoa, hold on.
You know, you're in polygamy?
No. It was a complete slip of the tongue. I'll have one wife, and it's the only one I will ever have.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Appreciate but that.
It's 20-something years, let me tell you. So after 26 years, I'm telling you, There's, you get to a point, Vince and I have talked about this offline, that you go beyond love with your spouse. You do love them, but it goes into a deep appreciation and a deep, you know, there's a sense with each other to where you know that it's just this is such a special intimacy, not even talking about physical intimacy, just between each other emotionally and mentally, that you can't replace that. And it's so precious. Wow. So anyway.
That relationship again, isn't it? Like going yeah, tied
exactly.
back. Exactly. We're talking about.
You're exactly right. Completely tying it back. You got to go to that relationship thing.
Totally ties back. Yeah.
Because you're 100% right, Chad. You know, if we don't have that relationship with people as we're trying to talk to them, then we're completely off game. Now, I'm going to swing back completely to a different topic. We only have a few minutes left, and I know we probably don't have enough time to discuss this. But I really want, especially since you're deep into youth ministry, I know you've probably heard this before. And actually, you mentioned something about it earlier before we started recording. What about the world being too much, too much? You know, what happens when they're trying to force their agenda down your throat?
The line.
You know, whether it be alternate styles of living or, you know, promiscuous living or excessive language or, you know, witchcraft or whatever it may be, they're trying to force it down your throats. When is too much too much?
To be honest, I think it's going to be by personnel of like how much you can personally take. Like, for instance, me, to be honest, I will never, like, I have a boundary, I have a standard of what I will and will not do. I will never, like, walk into a strip club at all. Like, that right there.
Well, that would be a good thing.
A lot of people, but, I will never, like, what's it called? I will never go attend to a gay marriage. Like, that's just something that I would personally never do. Not because I don't love the people that, you know, just got married. I don't want to celebrate with them. It's the fact that it's just my way of saying, I love you. I do not accept your sin. You know what I mean?
I completely understand.
And so, like, I would, and like, after the honeymoon and everything like that, I would text them. I'll be like, yo, I hope you had a great time. How was the wedding? I'll be the first one on their doorsteps like that. But at the same time, I do not want them to believe or hope that I'm acceptance of what they are doing. I just want them to be have that hope of them accepting that I love them for who they are and where they are.
Oh, there you go.
No, I've walked that out. I've literally walked that out with a family member. And it was one of the hardest things that I made a decision to do because I love them so much. And they're so important to me, and I know it got taken a different way than what it was meant, but I mean, their person that they're with, I absolutely think they're an amazing person. I when I got to actually meet them for the first time at Thanksgiving this last year, by the time the weekend was over, I was like, oh my gosh, you're one of the coolest people. So you know what I mean? I love them to death, like their family. But it doesn't mean I accept their lifestyle, what they're doing.
There you go. There's a difference between loving the person and accepting the sin. And that's a lie that the world is starting to preach today, is that you have to accept to love. And that's not true.
Love doesn't equal acceptance.
I can love my child and not accept them putting their hand in the fire.
Yeah.
You know, them putting their hand in the fire is going to burn them. And I'm not going to accept them doing that. But me smacking their hand away to protect their hand from, you know, imminent danger there is not me hating them. It's me loving my child. So in the same way, I am not going to promote something that I believe is going to bring spiritual death to someone. But I will, like you said, Chad, I will absolutely love, and Vince is you as well, I'll absolutely love people. My uncle's a perfect example. For many, many years, he was in an alternate lifestyle before he found Christ again. And he completely turned his life over to Christ and completely left that lifestyle. We loved him in spite of where he was. We didn't accept his lifestyle, but we loved him. We still went to his house. We had dinner with him. He came to our family events. And we had to love through even the hard moments. But now, what have we seen? We've seen the fruit of that love with God redeeming him in a simple way to where he was reading the gospel during COVID. And as he read it, God convicted his heart and completely transformed his life. And Vince, you've met him on a couple of the men's Bible studies, completely transformed, man. Loves the Lord with the passion. And, you know, so we can't give up on people because of their lifestyle. We have to pray for them. We have to love them. And we've got to be a part of what's going on around us, not participating in the sin, but loving on those people who are around us.
Hey, before we cut out, I got one more too much is too much, right?
Well, come on. I want to know what's too much is too much.
I want to throw this one back at Chad, too, is this. How often is it that you hear from your kids of what can I get away with watching or
oh, we've never heard that one before.
Without crossing over into sin?
I mean, listen, I was, to be honest, me and one of my students actually just had a conversation about this yesterday, too. Me and him were talking all about anime. And let me just say this, this dude knows his anime like he knows his Bible, and he knows the Bible very well inside and out. Like he was telling me stories about this, like this, that, and the third, and I've seen all these animes, but this dude's already watched all these animes within like 3 months. I was like, dude, it took me a year to watch like half of these animes, and I'm not even done with one of them. Like, and so, but the fact that he was able to like tell me the characters, what they do, how they work, and everything like that. In my honest opinion, like, yes, that's a little bit more excessive, but also how often do I hear students say that, or how often can I get away with that kind of stuff? No, they try to pull their strings, pull their little levers on their parents to be like, yeah, no, this is okay. It happens a lot in this world.
Unfortunately, you know, Kirk, we hear that quite a bit, even from leaders.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and it's not worded the same way, but it's worded a little different. But we still hear it even with guys who are seasoned.
Oh, yeah. People try to push the boundaries with music, with TV shows, with movies. I'm an adult. I can watch what I want. Really? Can you really keep the proximity of the Holy Spirit in your life after watching certain things on the TV? I'm sorry. If that's playing in the reel of your mind, how are you staying in the presence of God? I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know it's uncomfortable to talk about it, but as an adult, sometimes we have to make decisions that will promote where we're trying to be. You know, there's a saying that says, dress for success, dress for where you want to be, right? And in the same way, if we want to have a close relationship with God, sometimes we have to separate ourselves to such a degree that we are lifting ourselves up into the arena to where we have the opportunity to participate within the event.
And to be honest, I mean, dress for success does not even work that often nowadays because, I mean, don't get me wrong. Yes, dressed apart. Like, if you're working at a car dealership, I'm not going to go to someone that, like, looks like they just got done in a dumpster. At the same time, I'm pretty sure the people that work at the dumpster actually make more of a living than anyone else. And they're the people that are like, yo, I dress for success. Apparently, it's garbage. Like, I wear other people's garbage to make a living, like, to be a successful man. Like, just that by itself is something.
Well, they're in the way they're dressing the part, though, Chad, if you think about it, because they've found a way to trick people into giving them money. Not everybody that's homeless is that way. But there are charlatans out there that say, you know what, I'm going to prey on those who are weak-minded or those who have a very high compassion. And I'm going to position myself to get money for them and not have to work. And I heard somebody say this, and we are going to have to wrap it up here in a minute, but I heard somebody say this, that the millennial generation will be the death of panhandlers. You know, the ones that are trying to play the system. And he qualified it by saying, he goes, my daughter, the other day, I was about to hand money to somebody, and she said, don't give him money. And this guy looks at his daughter and goes, why not? And she goes, his shoes cost $250. And he's like, what? And she's like, yeah. And she named the name brand. And she goes, yeah, those are $250 shoes. He has more money than you know what to do with. Don't give him anything. If he has $250 shoes, he does not need your money. So the reality is there's people out there that really need help and there's people who don't. But guess what? They dressed for their form of success because they've positioned themselves to where they need to be, right?
I think that's a spiritual principle too, though, dressing for success in a spiritual way.
Yep.
And even cutting the things off. And I'm a step, I might even step on your toes here, Chad, on this one. But even things that seem to be mundane or innate or have zero repercussions at all, seemingly, as in anime. But what happens if...
Or there's a lot of things, yeah.
Or what happens if God's like, yeah, you need to cut that out of your life? Or what happens if you learn something about it that says, okay, that has a negative impact on my life, even if I'm not aware at the moment that it does? And I'm only using that because you brought up that subject, that topic. I'm not hating on anybody watching it. Look, I don't watch it.
No, I don't
feel only watch older cartoons, so that's it.
Nothing like that. So trust me, I understand.
He watches the old school Mickey Mouse. That's how old Vince is.
Oh, Looney Tunes, baby. Looney Tunes.
Yeah. I'm just messing. But anyway, yeah, guys, I mean, I completely agree with you. I mean, everything goes back to two things, right? Positioning ourselves with the Lord and loving our neighbor.
Absolutely.
We have to position ourselves to where we can be successful with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we have to love our neighbor as ourselves. If we can't love our neighbor as ourselves, we will not be successful in reaching people with the gospel. And it will also always be too much if you're not loving your neighbor.
Yeah.
You know what? To be honest, that could be another topic for next time or something of what happens if you don't love yourself to love your neighbor.
Oh, Chad, I like this. You know, Chad, I think you need to come back on the show again and let's have that discussion. I'm going to put that down. What happens when we don't love our neighbor? As ourselves.
Love yourself like as you should remember.
Okay. What happens if you don't love yourself as your neighbor? There you go.
So you can love your neighbor. Yep, that's all right.
I mean,
well, you know what? That's a good point because there's some folks that they will put more love into others than they do themselves.
And I will say, be honest with it, I am a victim of that. I love other people more than I could ever love myself, it feels like sometimes.
So that actually is a great topic because I know some people that are hyper compassionate, mm-hmm. and they sometimes forget that they have to think of themselves and love themselves and mm-hmm. esteem themselves as loved of God. But guys, we do need to wrap it up for the day. We thank you so much for joining us with this show. Chad, thank you for joining us. I'm so thankful that you came. Once again, tell everybody what church you serve at with the youth ministry.
I serve at Lakeshore. I believe it's off 205 in Rockwall. So if you are in the area, by all means, come on by and say hi. I will be most likely with the youth playing ping pong or playing Madden because everyone loves to get their butts kicked in Madden against me. Just heads up on that.
I always love to give a good shout out to the pastors and the ministry staff out in different churches. Right. We thank you guys so much for all that you do for the kingdom of God. We're praying for you. Guys, thanks again for joining us. If you have a prayer request or a show topic idea, just like Chad had, please email us at uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. You can also support us by giving at themooseministries.org/give. Guys, y'all have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time.
Later.